Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message.
Good morning! Good morning. How are you doing, Truth Community Church? Oh, come on now. You can do better than that. How are you doing, Truth Community Church? Good. All right, man. I got to tell you something. Before I dive into anything today, man, you could sense God's presence in this room. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I believe it. I mean, there is something, and you're in a series called Close to God. If you can't feel God's presence in a series called Close to God, you might as well close the doors. But you are here today. And I can tell you, I felt it the moment you walk in the building. There is something special happening at TCC. Amen. And if you don't recognize it, you better get on the fast train quick or you'll be left behind. And so if you're a Long Islander, any Long Islanders here? Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to make it easy. I'm throwing things out there you could say amen to. Any Long Islanders here? Amen. That literally means you've got to be ready because there's an L-I-double-R of the Holy Ghost power that wants to invade your space today. Once again, thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it, man. It is an honor to be here, and we really sense it. And I've got about 50,000 ways I can go with this message, but I really just want to honor your pastors. You guys may not realize this, but you have two highly influential people that lead your church in Keith and Amy and Davino. It's not just a one-person party. There's a two-person party happening here. There are two people that God has anointed and appointed to lead this church. And as you guys serve the pastors and leaders of the house and the staff, God will take this church places you can never imagine in your wildest dreams. In fact, the town will come to you and they will say, we've got property for you. The town will come to you and say, whatever you need, pastors, we're going to help provide it. This city will recognize this region, this area, will end up saying there's something different about TCC than any other church in town because you are close to God and anointed. Wow, Pastor, it just hit the second row. I'm just saying, it's second row. You guys are awesome. Love the Carhartt hat, by the way. Hey, I'm so generous to your church. You're going to get this, families, you're going to get this gift. It's a book I wrote called Leveraging Tension. Anybody ever been jacked up or messed up in life? Yeah. Okay, half of you. The rest of you will be by the end of the message, I promise. Come back next week. You'll hear a great message from somebody. Leveraging Tension. All of us have tension, and you could try to ignore it. You could try and avoid it, but the best thing you could ever do with it is leverage it. I share stories of church life in here. Yeah. We went there, and I'll tell you what, I think it's going to help you out. So your church is so generous, they're providing one per family today for you guys as well. Man, Pastor Keith already said it, but I'm going to share a message today for you guys called Hell No. I'm going to take you on a journey of my life for a few minutes and tell you why I'm so passionate about serving and reaching people with God's love. Because growing up in church, anybody grow up in church? How many grow up in churchers? Okay. I grew up in church. In fact, I joke about my mother. My mother took us to every church. She started off Catholic. By the time I was 2 or 3 years old, she ended up going to a Methodist, then an Episcopalian. Then she tried, did I say Lutheran? And she just went down. Just she found her way into this crazy Pentecostal Assembly of God church. And I used to joke about my mother that she basically raised us in church like Baskin Robbins. We tried all 31 flavors of church. We literally tried everything, but it wasn't until we landed in a spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-stomping, fire-breathing, wild kind of a church that God really connected his heart to our soul. And when that happened, our lives were radically changed. Now, my journey of faith began being raised in church, but church never got in me. I was in church, but church wasn't in me. Christ wasn't in me until I was 17 and a half years old when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, my life has radically never been the same since. When I gave my life to the Lord, I made a commitment. God, I'll live every ounce of my life to honor you. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care where it takes me. I'll do everything you've called me to do. See, serving comes always from a position and a place of God. It's not about me. It's about others. Serving is about us positioning ourselves to be like Jesus. What did Jesus say? I did not come to be served. I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. Right. See, when you come from the position of Jesus, you begin to look more like Jesus. Right. And when you look more like Jesus, the world will say, I want what you have and then some. I want to experience your love, your grace, your mercy in my life. So one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it's not John 3:16, but it's close. It's Mark 16. I love this passage. It says this, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Notice the language Mark, the gospel writer, is saying. He says, preach good news. Yes. He's not saying preach bad news. You can get that on CNN, Fox, and MSNBC. He's saying preach some good news. Yeah. Well, what's the good news? We know who the good news is. It's Jesus. He says, preach the good news to everybody. That means red, yellow, black, white, doesn't matter. I'm going to preach good news to everybody. Doesn't mean it matter if they're gay or straight. I'm going to preach the good news. Doesn't mean it matter if they've been lost or found. I am going to preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who has believed and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. I don't know if we fully grasp the word condemned in that passage. That is not about having a bad hair day. It's not about missing an appointment with your doctor. It is about eternal judgment in hell forever. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want my family to go to hell. Hell no. I don't want my neighbors to go to hell. Hell no. I do not want my coworkers, the people that are in my life to find their way in hell. And we have got to have a vision in the church today that hell is still a real place. And it's a place that if someone does not repent of their sins, they will end up there. And I think we've lost sight of that. I think it's all good news. But the good news isn't real news unless you also share the bad news. The bad news is without Jesus, people will go to hell. And without him using you, they may never hear about the good news of Jesus' love for them. That's why it's so important for us to get so close to God that we serve the least, the lost, the forgotten, the broken, the abused, the hurt, and the neglected. And it starts with a passion for God's house. See, if we don't have a passion for God's house, we'll never have a passion for the lost. If we don't have a passion for the house of God, we'll never get out into the highways, byways, and draw people in. You know, what did King David say? A passion for your house consumes me. Are you that consumed by the Church of Jesus that it's consuming everything about your life? Not Long Islanders. Hey, pastor needs you to do this. I'm sorry, I missed that call. Text message. Oh, I don't get all my text messages. I'm in Flanders. You know, we have bad cell service. Come on. The truth is, when you're consumed with a heart for the house, we need this. You're going to show up. You're going to help somebody move that you don't even know. When you have a heart for the house, you're going to make a difference in your city, your community, and even your region. The word hell is a verb. The word condemned is a verb. It means the issue, the penalty of hell, guilty. In other words, those who don't repent of their sins come to know Jesus, they're literally told, go to hell. When we don't serve, when we don't lift up the name of Jesus, we're literally saying to a city or region, go to hell. We're literally saying, I don't care about your lostness. I only care about my foundness. Wow. I have been found, and that is all. It's good enough. It's us four and no more. The reality is, church life has to be about others. It has to be all about giving ourselves to something greater. Let's say hell no to people living without Jesus. Let's say hell no to allowing people to find their way to a lost eternity without Christ forever. Let's declare today we want people to experience God's amazing love. Do you know how many people die every day in the United States? 7,452 people die every day. In fact, since I arrived in this building today, 375 people died somewhere in America today. in that short expanse of time, someone lost their life. Now, hear me today. We cannot determine who dies on every day, but we can help determine where they'll spend their eternity. We can't set someone's date of death, but we can determine and help determine where they're going to spend their destiny, where they're going to spend eternity. See, our mission at our church is, I think, very similar to Pastor Keith and you guys here. We want to plunder hell and populate heaven. That's what I say to my church. Can I be? It's okay. I'm just going to be like family because I love your pastors. They're awesome, and I love you. But like, our mission has to be, let's plunder hell and populate heaven. See, that was the mission of Jesus. It was such his mission that it drove him to the cross. He was willing to die for your sins and my sins. Now, if that was his mission, should that be our mission too? Okay, once again, I threw you up a hit. That was an easy one. Amen. If it was his mission, it ought to be our mission too. It ought to be our driving force. It ought to wake us up in the morning. It ought to get us compelled every day. Why, man, I don't like my job. Tough. God put you there because there's lost people that need to see Jesus in you. Once again, second row is getting there. We're good. Love you guys. See, we are not called to move fish from one aquarium to another aquarium. We are called as the Church of Jesus Christ to catch some fresh fish. To get out there and draw people in. So, do you want your family to go to hell? Huh? Hell no. Do you want your friends to go to hell?
No.
You want your neighbor? Well, it might be some of your neighbors. I don't know. See, the truth is we exist for every person. The church is not a solo act for those who've been redeemed. I used to think in church, man, the best church services were when everyone was worshiping. Everyone's dancing, everyone's singing, everyone's shouting. Oh, some of the best services are where you got people that are so lost, they're doubting what the preacher's saying. But you also have in that same room the person who's worshiping for the very first time, and they're kind of like this. And then you got those who really don't care, like your pastor. His hands were so wide we ran into each other this morning in worship. It's awkward when that happens. That's why you need a bigger building. Come on, I'm just saying. We've got to learn that preaching the gospel is much more than just standing on a stage and sharing the gospel. It's the person that's in the parking lot sharing the gospel. It's the welcome team member that's greeting people that come in. Let me tell you a story about someone that walked into our church several years ago. Lady walked into our church. We're at in Hicksville at the time, walks into our church, planned today was her day to kill herself, knew how she was going to do it, walked into the doors of our church, and one of our guest relations team members, which is what we call our welcome team, greets them with a smile. We love you. We're so glad you're here. Gave this woman a big hug. I remember we didn't know about it then, but I heard about it a week later when she came back to church, tears in her eyes, and said, it was that person that welcomed me with love that determined whether or not I was going to take my life. She didn't remember one thing I preached on, but you know what she sensed? The love of a host team, welcome team member that said, you matter to God, you matter to me. She found a place where she mattered. That's why serving is so important in the church. But when we don't serve, we actually move ourselves out of the view of God's use. We've got to always stay in the view of God's use. And when we're in the view of God's use, God can use you in ways you can never imagine. He might use you to save someone's life one Sunday. He may use you to reach someone that you never thought you could ever reach in your wildest dreams. I love what it says in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord isn't slow about keeping his promise as some people think. You could pause there and build a whole sermon off that. How many of you have ever felt like God's a little slow at times? I remember hearing this growing up, God's never late, never early, but he's always on time. That ticked me off. Because I'm like, why can't he be early every so often? Why do I always have to seem like it's taken a lot longer, but he's not slow in keeping his promise. No, he is being patient for your sake. Think about this. Let's talk about his return. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Do you know, it takes a team and an effort by everyone working together to build a great church. It's not just pastors. It's not just dream team members. It's everyone saying, hey, I am in it to win it. There are those that, man, I may never have time to serve, but you know what? I could give. Okay, amen. I'm thankful that we have several different types of people within our church. We have people that serve, and we have people that give. I remember having a conversation with one of our biggest givers. I said, man, how come I can't get you to serve? This was their response. Do you want my money? Because I'm working hard, and I can give more than half your church. Or do you want me to quit my job and come work at the church? I said, keep your job. It's fine. We understand. See, there's truth that everyone's got a gift. His gift wasn't getting involved. His gift was providing all the resources or a big chunk of the resources that we needed to propel the vision God gave to us. See, when everyone finds their place within a church, the church will find its place in their community. Oh, that almost deserves an amen and maybe even repeating. When you find your place in the church then finds its place in the community. Until everyone at Truth Community Church finds their place, the community will never have the transformation that your pastors dream of. And so let me give you a few thoughts about reaching people and serving. First is this, never live with a marina mentality. I'm safe right here. I'm safe in the harbor where the waves are a little lower. Now, I used to live in Lindenhurst, and we had the bay. It was so placid. You could go out there. You can go out there 100 yards in, and there was not a wave that would hit you. That's where most Christians like to live. It's safe. It's safe right here, and there's no, I'm good. Is that not true? How many like to live in the storms? Nobody likes to live in the storms, but let me tell you, you know what I've learned? Storms only come to those who are going into the deep to make a difference. I mean, if I'm literally sitting here, I'm safe. Come on, are you hearing me? If I'm just, I'm safe. I mean, you know, in the schools today, our children are being taught safe sex. Well, in the churches today, we're being taught safe Christianity. I'm just safe. Well, God never called us to a safe life. In fact, that's only an American church. I mean, you hear about all the Christians that are murdered around the world, and we ought to be embarrassed because we can't even get to church when there's little snowflakes. My gosh, it's snowing outside. There's no cover, but man, oh, I'm a hot chocolate. And come on, is that not? It's true. And yet people are laying down their lives for the gospel. In China, which is still a communist, church is closed there. It's government-sanctioned churches. And there are tens of thousands of Christians in China that meet in the underground church that fear for their lives. And we're like, little snow. And yet they're going through it because they don't live with a marina mentality. I think most Christians today, we live with, well, I got to stay safe in the harbor of my life. Luke 5:4 says this, no, go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. See, if you want to catch fish and you want to reach more people with God's love, you can't play it safe as a church. You can't play it safe as a Christian. You've got to get where it's a little dangerous. You've got to get where sometimes the storms hit you and sometimes life beats the snot out of you. And you've got to be like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a little bit of the enemy attacking. Because here's what I've learned also. The enemy only attacks those who are doing something against his kingdom. If you're not getting attacked, chances are you might not be doing anything right. But all of a sudden, when you feel like you're getting an uppercut and you're getting crossed around the face and you're like, look, man, I just, whoa. Maybe there's a chance hell noticed you even exist. And when hell notices you exist, get ready. I can tell you some stories. I can tell you stories about people in our church, good people, well-meaning people that the devil came out of them. Like, literally, you're like, man, everything's good. And then all of a sudden, you're like, I thought we were all good. And you're like, wait a minute, whoa, what happened to you? And I started casting, I didn't cast devils out of them. But it's like, you're literally, why would they all of a sudden respond that way? Because the enemy often uses those closest to you to discourage you. But when you're in their marina and you're safe, it's all good. We're good. I can't, it's so good. Why? We want to move our church to a bigger building. No, this is safe. Come on. We need to reach more people. This is safe. You want us to have lesbians and gay people in our church? No, this is safe. You want us to invite homeless people, but this is safe. You want us, you see what easily, quickly happens in the church? It becomes about marina. It's about us. We're in the safe zone. Well, I'd rather live in the danger zone.
That's right.
So you can either live with a marina mentality where everything's safe, or you can live with an ocean mentality where you're launching out into the deep and you're catching fish. You're trying things Truth Community Church has never tried before. You're going places. You're doing things. You're like, what in the world is happening? Why is this church blowing up? Why is God showing up in our churches? Because you're going places that you've never gone before. If you stay in safety, you'll only experience what you've always experienced. But when you get out into the ocean where there's a lot of waves, and a lot of mystery, and a lot of danger, and a lot of unknowns, you will be like, well, number one, you'll probably say, what do we do this for? That's sometimes me. We'll make a decision. I'm kind of like this. I make a decision. Here's how I make a decision. Let's see what sticks. I try anything and everything to reach more people with God's love. Why? Because at 17 and a half years old, I came face to face with God's love. It was that encounter with Jesus that propelled me to go into ministry. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, called into ministry. 8 months later, I was in Bible college. Almost got kicked out twice. True story. God's grace. But I didn't live with a safe mentality. I lived with, God, wherever you want to send me, I'll go. I was serving upstate New York. I knew that my time was coming to an end, but I loved the church there. Felt like, man, I could stay here forever. I wouldn't leave. Nothing would propel me to leave because I'm a commit-a-holic. Come on, any commit-a-holics here? Maybe you're a commit-a-phobe. I'm a commit-a-holic. I commit and then I'm in for life. Like my wife and I, she's preaching right now at our church, and we're committed for the rest of our lives. We're at our church. We're not dreaming about another church. We've been offered positions in large churches. We're like, no, we're good here because it's an ocean still of what God could do on Long Island. I could go to Tennessee. I go to Tennessee, I can go to the buckle of the Bible Belt, we can blow up a church of 5,000. Everybody does. Like, there it is. But on Long Island, that does not happen. It's hard work, it's commitment, it's life. So you got to be a committaholic. You got to be so committed to the vision that you're like, hey, no matter how bad it gets, I'm in it to win it. And so when you're committed to it, and my wife and I, we've committed to it, I don't even know why I'm telling that story, so I'm just going to move on. Just committed. So you can't live with a marina mentality, you got to live with the ocean mentality. Number two, you got to learn to live the good news. I think this is one of the biggest challenges we have because we like to listen to preaching. We like to hear good, solid teaching. We love that. I listen to it every day. I'm listening to somebody else every single day. Doesn't matter who. I just want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be better. But hearing the good news is part of it. The church has been listening for generations and generations. And church attendance is doing this in America. What good is it to hear it? We must learn to live it. Yeah, we've got to learn to be out there and say, man, I've got to live it. So I'm going to step up and I'm going to serve. Yes, I'm going to live the good news. I'm not just going to show up and be a butt in a seat. Yeah. I'm going to show up and be a difference maker. I don't want to be the person that says, oh, I was there when God showed up in our church. I want to be the person that says, I was there and helped make it happen when God showed up in our church. I don't want to be a person on the sidelines. I want to be in the game. Now, I played football in high school. I know I may not look it, but I played football in high school. Wide receiver, very quick. Played football in high school. Let me tell you, it was painful to be second string. Watching seniors be out in the game when I knew I could do just as good. But I had a coach. He held me back. Here's a beautiful thing about the Church of Jesus Christ. There ain't a coach in the church that will hold you back from serving. There ain't a coach in the church, a pastor, or leader in this house that will keep you back and just, I'm just going to be safe. No, you got to get in the game. And you got to be on the field, and you got to do great things. St. Francis said this, it is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. Where's your sermons? Everyone preaches a sermon. Every single one of us are preaching something. Preach the gospel, yes, but live the gospel. It's much more potent, much more powerful when the gospel is alive in our hearts and our lives. Live the gospel at home. I know it's a 9 o'clock service, but live the gospel at home. Come on now, let's be honest. Is that the toughest? Come on, how many parents just sometimes you just want to, you just wish you could just like, okay, maybe you guys are much better than me because there's some, I'm like, you little. Live the gospel at work. Your work becomes worship when you do it for God. I don't like, man. I'm a bank teller, man. Man, smile and give those people their money. One day the money will come back to you. Not that money, but, you know, other money. Live the gospel at the store. Maybe that person that's at the cash register. Maybe they're discouraged or depleted. Who knows where they are emotionally? And maybe just a smile. After they were just berated by 50 customers before you, they don't need the church to berate them anymore. Right. Hey, how you doing today? You know, I do. I mess with them all the time. It's true. They have no idea what it is to have friendly people come to the register. Because everybody, got to pay for my own bags in Suffolk. And literally, it's like, I go, hey, how you doing today? So good to see you, man. Thank you for serving today. You're awesome. They're like, huh? Live the gospel on the L-I-E. Oh, man, sometimes you just want to. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. It's challenging. Think about how many times, you idiot, get out of the way. Come on, I'm just being honest. Yeah. I'm like, come on now, drive. Come on, I know it says 55. It's Long Island. It means 70. Let's go. Still the back row, just not getting there. Okay. Philippians tells us this. I love this verse. Listen to this. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. I'm living as a citizen of heaven. I am much more a citizen of heaven than I am a citizen of the United States of America. Amen, Pastor. But why? Because this is not my final home. This is a temporary space. Heaven is that eternal residence. I must live as though heaven is constantly on my thoughts. So when I'm at home, am I living in such a way that my children see Jesus in me? When I'm at work, am I living in such a way that my coworkers see Jesus in me? When I'm on the LIE and I got my church bumper sticker on, tells everybody where to go, am I living? Are my hand gestures, is my smile like Jesus is evident in my life? How about when I'm at church? I wonder what Jesus would be doing when he showed up at church. I doubt he'd just show up, sit down, raise his hand, sing, and say amen, and walk out. You know what he did? He instituted the church when he died on the cross. And it was his living his gospel life that propelled the church to start. It was filled with power on the day of Pentecost when Peter basically was accused of having 120 plus people up drunk. The church was so impassioned when the Holy Spirit fell on it that people thought they were not sober. That sounds sober, sounds safe. Safe. I don't want anybody to hear us out there. We're good. Shh, don't tell anybody. We're okay. Don't let them know we're here. Get those reflective vests off our parking team. Shh, it's safe. It's good. We don't want to burn out our pastors. Let me tell you, any pastor worth their weight in salt would rather burn out than rust out. We'd rather leave it all on the field and do what God's called us to do no matter what. Final thought today. We ought to get so full of God that hell trembles when we wake up. Your life has purpose. I don't know why I'm here. I think that's the biggest argument of most people's lives. Why am I here? Why did God place me here? Let me give you the vision God placed you on planet Earth for. It is to plunder hell, populate heaven. Why do I exist? To reach people with God's love. Why am I here? I'm here to serve the least, the lost, the forgotten, the neglected, the ignored. I am not here to play it safe. That's not why I'm here. God has more in store for my life. So I think most of us, we get caught in comfort, marina mentality. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Let me tell you, I could sense it in a church, and I sense there is something shifting in this house. There's something changing. There's an environment that's being created here and cultivated that is preparing the way for hundreds. I'm getting goosebumps. I feel like I'm prophetically speaking to this church right now. That God is preparing you for a massive influx of lost people. Get ready. There's not enough seats in this room to fulfill the vision that God has for this house. And if God's vision is so grandiose, shouldn't our vision line up with his vision? If God is unwilling that any should perish, shouldn't our lives line up with that purpose? I am not willing for anyone in Flanders or the surrounding area to go to hell, no! It's not going to happen. Not on my watch, not our church. Or is it going to be, man, I'm still stuck on him saying hell no. Some people will get more offended by that than people that are dying going to hell every single day. Let me tell you, a religious spirit will destroy a church. A spirit of, what do we got to do to reach people? Paul the Apostle said this, I will do anything to reach people. Anything. To the Jew, I'll become a Jew. To the Gentile, I'll become a Gentile. Let me tell you, that means some of us need to look a little different. Talk a little different. I don't wear skinny jeans because they're comfortable. I wear skinny jeans because my son says, Dad, you look dumb. Start dressing right. And you know what we learn? By changing some of the things within our church, by adding LED lighting and smoke machines, where some of our Catholic friends think we burn incense all the time in church, it's smoke machines. By doing all that, you know what we've attracted? A younger audience. Younger people come in and say, man, that church is actually cool. Do we still preach the truth? Absolutely, without compromise. But let me tell you, sometimes it's how you package the truth. It's not just how you present, it's how you package it. How are you presenting Jesus in your life? Are you presenting him on the sidelines or are you presenting him in the game? Because the church that says, I am here to serve, is the church that changes the culture. It's a church that changes a city. It's a church that changes a region. Why are you here? You're not here to occupy space. You're here to make room for more people. You're not here just say, well, I praise you, Jesus. That's part of it. But we are here to help others come to a place where they can praise Jesus. It's got to be an open ocean mentality. Our prayer has to simply be, God, fill me up so much with you. Let me get so close to you that when I'm burning next to the fire that burns from your heart for people, that people see that passion in me, that drive in me, that hunger in me, that thirst for you in me. And when you have that, let me tell you, there isn't a demon in hell that can stop this church. There isn't an attack from the inside or the outside that'll keep this church from its divine destiny. God has this church here. Truth Community Church, with your pastors and your leadership team. But it's just the beginning of what God has for you. Get ready, TCC. Get ready. Get so full of God that you have less of yourself. Get so close to God that others are saying, I need what you have. Get so desperate for him that at the end of the long days and late nights, people will hear about Jesus because you are living the gospel. My day on a Sunday, as we finish up, my day on a Sunday, you know what I do every Sunday? Just about every Sunday. After I preach 3 services in my church, I will jump in my car and I will drive to LIU and I will do a Bible study for a football team. I'll get home at 7 o'clock at night every single Sunday, unless they have a game, and then we do it before the game on Saturday. Think about that. But you're the pastor of the church. You just preach your guts out three times. Yeah, but you know what? I get to impact 25 young men who are desperate for Jesus. They can't get to church because of their football schedule. So what good would it be for me to say, guys, I'm sorry, I'm too busy for you? That would inconvenience my life. No, you know what I say? Hey, hell no. Those young men need Jesus. And if I'm the only one willing to go, I'm going to bust my butt. I'm going to preach those services. I'm going to drive 40 minutes. And I'm going to let those guys know they matter to God. They have purpose. And God has a debt. But, oh, man, that's inconvenience. Yeah, it's inconvenient. I'm exhausted. I'm 46, man. Now I'm like, man, I need B12 to get me up in the morning and a refresher. At 35, I can roll out of bed. Yeah, let's take the mountain. Now I need some help. What Pastor Keith and Pastor Amy need is people that can say, we can take the mountain. We're here to serve. How can we serve? How can we help? Would you close your eyes as we pray this morning? Say, Pastor Todd, man, first thought is this. Maybe you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. I never take this moment for granted. Maybe you're disconnected from him. Maybe you come to church, but like me, church didn't come into you yet. Christ didn't come into you. You say, Pastor, I need that relationship with Jesus. I don't really have that living, giving, breathing relationship with Christ today. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, that's me. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Would you? Yes, thank you for that hand. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, young man. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? You say, that's me. Yes, young lady. What, that living, breathing relationship with Jesus. You put those hands down. Thank you for that honesty. Would you say this prayer after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. And draw me so close to you that others are drawn to me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we celebrate those decisions? Come on. Bible says that there's a celebration party in heaven when that happens. Would you all stand to your feet really quick? I want to pray over you today. Because I really, truly, go ahead, stand up if you don't mind. Would you all truly stand with me on this? Because I'm behind your church. I mean, Pastor Keith will tell you this. There's a lot of people that talk about being behind churches, but we have financially invested in this church. We've invested time, sweat, energy, relationship, friendship, and prayer into this house. So this isn't me coming saying, hey, here's a great message. It's me coming saying, God has a destiny for this church. It's bigger than you could ever imagine. And we're not just saying it. We are investing and believing in it. Because there's more in store for you. So get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Okay, maybe I gotta say it like T.D. Jakes. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready because it is coming. In fact, I believe there's a move of God happening across Long Island in churches. Something's shifting in our culture today. And I really believe this church is gonna be a beacon of hope on the east end of Long Island. Get yourself ready. You are here not to be served. You are here to serve. Would you stretch your hands to heaven as we pray today? And I want to pray over this house and you and your leaders. Father, I thank you for this incredible church that you have anointed and appointed. God, I pray right now that this church would recognize it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by your spirit that this church will be a lighthouse that this region has never, ever seen. So Lord, I pray for every church member, every attender, every dream team member, every team member, staff member. God, I pray that you would anoint this house in such a way that every person we see, we won't see their condition. We will see their heart. We will see and recognize that they need Jesus. And that will compel us to share and live God's love. Lord, do not let this church ever live with a marina mentality where it is safe. Lord, I declare and believe they're going to launch out into the deep. They're going to draw in more fish than they can ever, ever imagine. in their wildest dreams. And God, as they live the gospel, they would be so full of you. They'd be so full of your power and your presence that hell would tremble every day they wake up. They're living their purpose, their dream, and the vision you have birthed within their soul. Lord, today we declare we are here to serve, and there will be a hell no attitude to others going to hell and spend a lifeless eternity without Jesus. We are here on purpose, for a purpose. May we plunder hell and populate heaven at Truth Community Church in Flanders, New York. We believe it, we declare it, we expect it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.